Dedicated to quality and service, Western Company of Texas has earned the reputation as the premier water transfer company in all the Barnett Shale. Their goal is to efficiently transfer water to your next completion job with the best service possible and can meet your water transfer needs anyplace, anytime, anywhere, 24/7. Western Company of Texas has a proven track record and has successfully completed thousands of water transfer jobs and can meet those last-minute deadlines. So if you're looking to transport water to your next completion job, then think Western Company of Texas and the guys with the green pumps. They cover all the Barnett Shale with locations in Cleburne, Ponder, Hyco, and Weatherford. Western Company of Texas has a large inventory of irrigation pipe and transfer pumps available and ready to meet all your water transfer needs. Western Company of Texas and the guys with the green pumps, committed to precision, performance, and competitive pricing. Excellence is not expensive, it's priceless. Call Western Company of Texas and the guys at the Green Pumps. They are the premier water transfer company in all the Barnett Shale. Call 940-648-3434. That's 940-648-3434.
It's the show you don't want to miss. The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Stay tuned as Elissa goes up close and personal with some of the biggest names in the world of sports. From Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame quarterback Roger Staubach to legendary broadcaster Pat Summerall. Think big. Think big. It's all happening right here on the Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show. And what a run and season for Sonny Galloway's Sooner baseball team. The Sooners, boy, did they certainly play with a lot of grit and guts and pride, and they were able to muscle their way back to the College World Series. Let me throw this out there. You know, that was despite losing a number of key players in last year's draft. Joining us this weekend from the flagship station that carries all of the Sooner baseball action, that, of course, is 1400 KREF AM in Norman, Oklahoma, my good buddy, my dear friend, James Hale, who, of course, covers the Sooners all season long. James, it's great to be along with you, and please forgive me for my raspy voice. I've been yelling at my kids too much.
You know, if you wouldn't have mentioned it, we would have never noticed it.
Well, I'm a little bit transparent, but, you know, that's one of the, I guess, the axioms that I should have learned from you as your intern is that you don't share those kind of things, right? You just, the show continues on.
When you think you're doing your worst, many times people think, that was a great show. Okay, great. That's what counts. As long as they think it is, it's a great show. You mentioned that Oklahoma, you know, lost a lot of players. In college baseball, E, haven't you found, I think this is what, if you look at the best programs out there, it's the teams that are programs. Not teams, they're programs. Because in college baseball, it is a unique sport. I think that and men's basketball are two unique sports that we have in college athletics today. Your roster changes all the time. In fact, if you're not good at handling that roster change, then you're not going to be a successful program. And you've got to prepare for it. You almost oversign to compensate for it. For instance, going into next year, Oklahoma right now, if every pitcher came, they'd have 18 pitchers. Sonny knows he's going to lose 5 or 6 or 7 of them because they're quality guys. And so when the season rolls around, he'll have 12, 13, or 14, which is the right number to have. But that's what he ran into last year. He lost all those players, and he oversigned. He had a really good recruiting class. Some of that recruiting class made it to Norman, some didn't. But when the smoke cleared, he had a good squad and probably more pitching depth than he's had since he's been at OU, and that's because he's developed a really good program.
Well, there's always movement. Players come and go. You talk about reloading, but how is he able to get inside these guys' heads and motivate them and help them really to overachieve because they were pretty much wiped out when you start talking about that starting lineup from the draft last year?
Well, if you're going to play for Sonny, you're going to play his style of baseball. He's a motivational guy anyway. Sonny's got a ton of motivational sayings that he uses. He's paid attention. Now, he's a Larry Koschel, Augie Garrido disciple. So he has studied everything you can study about those two guys. That's why everybody knows Sonny is a small ball type of coach. That's why it's not surprising that Sonny will have his cleanup hitter bunting or a guy that just hit two jacks bunt the next two times. That's the way Sonny coaches. He's going to coach by feel, but he's going to coach by his principles, his beliefs. That's why when he walked Bradley Jr. the first game that Oklahoma beat South Carolina,
Yeah. That's
against every rule that he has. He never believes putting the tying runner on first base. He will put Reggie Jackson. Doesn't matter who it is. He will pitch to Reggie Jackson instead of putting him to first base. But in that game, he went against that axiom. The Sooners got out of that inning, and they won the game. The second time around, he decides to go back to his rules, his principles. They almost get him out on a 2-2 pitch. They don't. They end up losing the game. But you have to coach by your beliefs. You have to come up with your own program, your own style of play, and your own way to coach. And in Sonny's belief, the Sooners are never out of a game. He coaches right up to the final out. He makes his guys play that way. If they don't, they don't play for him. If you don't hustle, you're not going to play. His shortstop has to be the leader, and that's one of the reasons why he almost replaced Bushyhead at midseason, because Bushyhead didn't feel like he was good enough to be the leader, and he went up to him and he said, "Hey, you're the shortstop." He goes, "I don't know what you really think, but the rest of the guys think you're pretty good. You're playing shortstop for the Oklahoma Sooners, so lead this team. If you don't like the way Bushyhead's playing, tell him. If you don't like the way Black's playing, tell him. If you don't like the way your center fielder's hustling, tell him. You've got to take hold of this team." Bushyhead came back after that meeting, and he had two weeks in a row where he didn't play very well. He played lights out the rest of the way. But the team, I think, really took shape because it became the kind of team everybody knew that Coach Galloway really wanted. The shortstop was leading things. They had a great closer that they had developed. Their setup man was knocking people out. Bushell was playing like the player of the year. Seicher was playing up to that capability as well. They had a star in the making in White that became a guy that we're going to be watching the next couple of years and all, and he's going to be great. Ellison grew into being the center fielder that they thought he could be. And then Wynn became a guy, you know, the Kung Fu Panda that the fans have nicknamed him.
Love that.
That started supplying. You know, he doesn't look like he's in shape or anything, but he's one of the fastest guys on the team, and he started hitting all those home runs. And, boy, that really solidified the lineup. But if you're going to play for Sonny, you're going to play his way or you're not going to play. And his way is never give up on a game. You're never out of a game. You're never out of the race. Get to the postseason. Once you get to the postseason, you're as good as anybody else. And, you know, it's worked out for him.
And a beautiful example of that is what you're talking about, that unwavering belief, it ain't over till it's over, is let's think back to what happened in College Station. They beat those Aggies in, 13 innings?
Yeah, you can find examples of it, you know, throughout the year. I think the telling series is when they get swept by Texas, and Texas dominated them. I mean, they outplayed the Sooners. They out-small-balled the Sooners. They played better defense. Every mistake the Sooners made in that series, Texas capitalized and scored. It was the most frustrating series I've watched in OU baseball in a long time. So what happens? I mean, everybody's down on the Sooners. Everybody believes the season is over. Sonny's going on radio shows saying, "Hey, we got them right where we want them." And he's telling his guys, "All right, you got beat here. We've got 7 more series. Go win those 7 series. I guarantee somebody's going to beat Texas," he says. Now, it turns out Texas wins the league. Oklahoma finishes second.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't take that approach, Oklahoma's going to finish 3rd, 4th, or 5th. And because of that, they get a pretty good seed. But more importantly, they get a chance to host the first regional. And that was huge for OU. And so it turns out to be a positive thing. So I think that series is where Sonny's coaching really and his coaching style really comes into play, because a lot of people gave up on the series. I'm talking about fans, media, and others. But he didn't, and the team didn't, and they rebounded, and they went on to have a good season.
Absolutely. James Hale is along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. He's right there in Norman, Oklahoma. Of course, I highlighted and talked about you in the open as far as you're with 1400 KREF. You can dial them in from 3 to 6 in the afternoon. But, James, you're also a prolific writer. Tell us a little bit about as far as OUESPN.com.
Well, you know, that's a fun association that we have. You know, we're one of the largest collegiate websites in the country. And, it's been fun working with ESPN. We've had an opportunity to do some things. It really hasn't changed much what I do. You know, I cover OU. I'm a beat reporter that covers OU, and I do a talk show as well. In the talk show, of course, you know, we talk national stuff. Right now you're talking a lot about the NBA. The Thunder has given us a lot to talk about. I actually have a team now that I can root for in the Thunder. In the past I kind of drifted around where an Oklahoma player might be or something like that. Or I have friends that root for the Lakers, so I'd root for the Lakers. When I could read the Dallas Morning News all the time, I rooted for the Mavericks because I had a chance to read about them all the time. And so it just depends. I kind of floated around, but now I have the Thunder and I root for them. So it's fun to follow the NBA a little closer now because we have a team we can really get into. But it's fun being the beat reporter at OU. I'm very fortunate. I'm blessed. OU is a good athletic program. They're good in just about every sport. They don't keep their coaches from coming on the radio, or they like their coaches and athletes to be interviewed. and it's been a blast. I could not be in a better spot than I'm in right now.
Well, we love talking Sooner sports with James Hale, who has been around the scene for many, many years. He knows it inside and out. I do want to just talk a little bit more about Sonny Galloway, his system. He was on our program right before they headed out to Virginia, and one of the things that I was so impressed with just is how mentally tough, and you've kind of touched upon this, just how mentally tough he has these kids. Mental toughness, as he had said, was learning to be comfortable in an uncomfortable situation. I, in fact, jotted that down because I thought that is just such a great quote.
Well, you know, in baseball, you have more failure than you have more positives. Baseball's a game of failure. Think about it, E. The best hitters get out 3 out of 10 times.
Yeah.
So the best fielders, you know, end up making, you know, maybe 15 to 20 errors a season. The best base runners get thrown out 6 or 7 times a year. So there's different ways to look at it, but baseball, it is a game of failure. So if you don't learn how to handle that failure, you really struggle. Sonny is one of the most positive people I know. You know, Sonny's gone through a lot here at OU. You know, when he was an assistant coach under Larry Koschel in 94, they won a national championship. His first break was to get the ORU program, and Oral Roberts is an outstanding baseball program. It has been for a long time. In fact, their stadium at one time was state-of-the-art. And he, every year his team was in the playoffs, they made it to the NCAA tournament. They would be a number 3 or 4 seed, and they'd upset somebody, but never could sustain it because their pitching staff couldn't be as deep as they wanted. And when Larry offered him the opportunity to come back and be an assistant coach, Larry's program had gone, you know, it had slumped a little bit for 3 years. It had struggled to get into the Big 12 tournament or, you know, not get into the NCAAs. That was a tough move for Sonny. Sonny gave up being a head coach to come back being an assistant coach. And I think in deep in Sonny's mind, he had to believe he was going to be the next head coach at OU when Larry stepped down. And that's really where Sonny wanted to go. But that almost backfired for him because when Larry was fired for a racial comment made in a private setting with ESPN that they used publicly, which I thought was really a lousy way to do things by ESPN at the time. Larry was let go. When Sonny took over, the program was split. You had the Seymour faction that wanted to either bring back Stan Meek or somebody from that faction, or Gene Stevenson, and then you had those that supported Sonny. Now, Sonny did a great job at an interim basis. They got into the NCAA tournament. They went to Rice. They were one game away from advancing to the World Series, but that still didn't guarantee that he was going to have the job. And in fact, if you remember, they tried to hire Gene Stevenson in one of the most embarrassing moments for OU athletics.
Yes, because he had accepted from Wichita State with the Shockers, right?
Not only accepted, he showed up at the press conference. It was weird. He shows up. He's in slacks and a shirt. His two assistants are in flops and Hawaiian shirts. And they show up at this press conference. You have to understand, you know, OU's kind of they're a very professional athletic department. You know, they're in suits and ties and things like that. Joe's in a great-looking suit, Joe Castiglione. And there's Gene showing up, you know, he doesn't even have a tie on, and his two assistants are in Hawaiian shirts. And you can tell, as they put that Sooner jersey on him, E, that he doesn't want to wear it. He wouldn't even button it up all the way. And I'm sitting there, and I'm with a friend of mine, my partner on OU ESPN, Brian Bishop, and I'm going, he doesn't want to be here. Well, 50 minutes after that press conference, he tells Joe it's not going to work out. He's going to go back to Wichita State. And he had enough time to call Wichita State and say, do you guys still want me? And he told Joe, and so Joe didn't know what, you know, Joe's sitting there going, you got to be kidding me. We've had this press conference. It's all over the national news. It's on ESPN. And now all of a sudden you're going to tell me that you don't want to do it? And so in some respects, Sonny was in the right spot at the right time at that point, even though he was cleaning out his office while that press conference was going on. And so he caught a break there, but the program was still very well split. But that really hurt the Seymour faction because that was who the Seymour group wanted. They wanted Gene Stevenson. And when he did that to the program, everybody went, hey, we're going to move on. We're going to, you know, everybody needs to understand there's Oklahoma across the jersey there. We're going to move on. And there's still, I think, some of that faction that doesn't want to support Sonny Galloway, but at this point, Sonny's going, okay, don't. But we're going to go on, guys. If you want to be a part of it, I'm always going to leave the door open. But if you don't, that's your fault, not mine anymore. We're going to be Oklahoma, and we're Oklahoma baseball now. And that's really benefited the Sooners in the long run, or it will in the long run.
And the Sooners, of course, finishing with 50 wins on the season, the most since the winning the program, with the second national title in 1994.
1994 is when they won the national championship.
I can still see Leslie Visser interviewing Larry Koschel. I think it was on CBS Sports. That's so hard to believe how time is like wind. It's just going. Yeah.
Mark Redmond was the ace of the staff, and
absolutely.
Jim Glass was the MVP of the World Series that year. But you had the Minor Twins playing first and third and DHing, and
Ryan and Damon.
That's exactly right.
Well, let's talk about the future as far as for Sooner baseball. It's obviously very bright. I think about those freshmen, Max White, and you had highlighted and talked about Cameron Seitzer.
Well, you know, Seitzer is a power hitter that showed us he's really a good baseball player. You know, his dad was a major league player. Everybody knows that. But a guy that could bunt like that, the guy, you know, improved his fielding. At first of the year, I was worried that he was going to be a quality first baseman. He wasn't scooping anything up. He wasn't playing the short hop. But he got better. I mean, he just got better as the player went along. I'm so impressed with him. He's got sizey. If he has a great off-season course in baseball, what's the off-season? I don't know. You know, they play in the summer, but he's got to get in the weight room some. He's got to get a little bigger and stronger, but he certainly is a student of the game, and he's a quality first baseman, and I think he's going to be a high draft. He comes back right now. Boose Schell is telling OU he's coming back. Now, it's going to be interesting to see because Boo was drafted by the Texas Rangers. His father is, played for the Rangers, and I think down the road is going to be the manager of the Rangers, especially if Nolan Ryan's group ends up with ownership of the Rangers. Now, I'm saying down the road because, Coach Washington's doing a great job there. If Boose Schell comes back, then the Sooners have their corner infielders back. They have Bushyhead back. Black's already decided to sign with the Marlins, so they lose him. But that means White can move back in the infield because he's a natural infielder. Or Mayfield, who you saw as a pitcher, could become a second baseman, kind of middle relief guy as a pitcher. Ellison will become a junior, but he's back, the leadoff hitter, and he's filling out as we go along. He was a skinny kid when he first came out of Norman North. Now he kind of looks like a slot receiver, and he's really becoming that kind of center fielder you want, and wins back and right. And so the Sooners have – Ogle's going to be back behind the plate. You saw how well Ogle hits. And then Neal has told OU that he's coming back, and I thought he might because he didn't get drafted in the top 20, and I thought he might come back. With a great senior year, he might be able to move into the top 10 of the draft. So far, so good. And the recruiting has been tremendous. The Sooners have signed 4 out of the top 5 players in the state of Oklahoma. They've hit the junior college ranks hard looking for some power arms. Duke's back as the closer. They've got to find that guy that can set up, but it wouldn't be surprising to me if it's not Rocha. Now, Rocha might be in the starting rotation, but they've got some other guys that really have better stuff than Rocha, but they don't have that. You don't know if they have that heart or that determination like Rocha has. So Rocha may go from being a guy that is their opening starter in the College World Series to their setup guy. But in Sonny's way of doing things, that setup guy, that guy that he can count on the sixth and seventh or eighth or seventh and eighth, almost is the most important guy on his staff. And it's not going to be surprising to me if it's Rocha. But if the recruiting holds, and I wish I could tell you right now which recruits are going to be on, but I can't because I still think some of them are going to sign. But if we do this show again in late August or early September and we talk anything about baseball, because I know we'll be focusing on football at that time, but I'll be able to give you more of an idea how guys might fit in. But they have signed 5 guys that throw 92 or harder,
wow,
and 2 guys that have been clocked at 95. They were all drafted. I think they're going to lose a couple of those guys, but if they even get one of those guys in, boy, that really is a big boost to the pitching staff.
We're going around the horn talking Sooner baseball with James Hill, of course, out of Norman, Oklahoma, 1400 KREF. Of course, you can check out all of his work at OUESPN.com. And it is interesting, if you have followed Sooner baseball, OU has produced a number of baseball players that have, you know, gone on to the big leagues, had successful careers. I would assume having a 3-hour, 5-day-a-week show, James, that you do have a chance from time to time to catch up with them. What do they share about their chance and the opportunity to play at the University of Oklahoma?
Well, I think that, Oklahoma is a great athletic venue for the student athletes to come to OU because, Joe and President Bourne, they've spent so much money on making sure all the facilities are state-of-the-art. When you build a facility, it's like the old saying, as soon as you build, one brick building, somebody's going to build a builder one next door because they have your blueprint. But Oklahoma's, they've been able to stay ahead of the game with their tennis facilities, the Verizon gymnastic facilities. This is the third refurbishing they've done of that. the wrestling room that OU has now is now state-of-the-art, and you've got other wrestling programs coming in to look at it. That same thing happened when Oklahoma built their practice facilities for basketball. The Kentuckys of the world and some of the greatest programs in the country were looking at Oklahoma because Oklahoma had come up with the state-of-the-art. Of course, they've just put a lot of money into the football facility, and they're going to put more in. You're going to have new dorms. You're going to have new chow halls. But they've improved the medical facility within the football program. They have, improved the meeting rooms, the coaching facilities, the coaching locker rooms, and some of the other amenities that they put in. So if you're an athlete and you're coming to OU, you just have the best of the best. You're not going to be short on facilities. You're going to play a great schedule. You're going to be given every chance to win. Your coaching staff is going to be among the best in the country. That's why I say it's a fun university to cover, because they are, they're putting so much into their athletic program. And yet academically, I am told, and people rave about everything that they do academically. I have athletes that graduate. Well, first thing they talk about is Dr. Gurney and Teresa Ray, and everything that they do over there. And Teresa, of course, was a great basketball player at OU's, So.
Of course, you're referring to and talking about the Academic Life Center there at the University of Oklahoma, and it is. It's top class, and certainly when I was being recruited from Montana, that was one of the big reasons why I decided to come on down and come on and be a part of it, because
your statue academically is right there in the middle of the facility there. So, you study 24/7. It was really great.
It's true. Hey, let's shift avenues. We are quickly running out of time. We are talking with James Hale, the familiar voice, this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We do want to pause and momentarily direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. You can check out all of my tweets. I'm talking a lot about my boys during the summer months. Survival of the fittest at the Campbell household. That is at Twitter/eradiosports. And we do want to recognize our premier corporate sponsor and partner. That is the Friends at Folks at Western Company of Texas, WCT.us.com. And James, so much for the dog days of summer. Let's talk about the Big 12, the realignment, CU and Nebraska defecting, and they are now gone. What do you think about as far as the future with the Big 12? Is this just a temporary fix?
Well, not in my opinion. I don't think you stay in it if it's a temporary fix. Why do you need a temporary fix when you have some permanent options you can go to if you want to?
Well, I was surprised. And the only reason I bring that up is, Tommy Tuberville, the head new coach at Texas Tech, he kind of had talked about that and gone on records sharing some of that.
Well, I know, and I saw those comments, and I thought they were very interesting. His comments didn't make any sense to me. But I thought they were refreshing, to be honest. It's a coach that basically is, given us his point of view, and I understand that, and I think that's great and everything. But if everybody's just hanging in here, and it's a temporary situation, they're making a big mistake because they had a chance, Oklahoma did at least, to go to two different leagues that were set up, that were permanent, that were ready to go, the Pac-10 and the SEC. They could have made the same amount of money, if not more. So if it's going to be a temporary thing, or if we're going to go through this again, and I've heard a lot of people say that, but it doesn't make business sense for that to be the case, see? And if that's the case, then I think everybody's made a huge mistake for staying in the league right now. Why would you do that if you have a chance to go to two other solid leagues, and you can basically be on the forefront of what people envision down the road of these super conferences? I mean, if the Big 12 doesn't have plans in place, or if Commissioner Beebe has not put plans in place for the future with the super conferences that he's got going on, then what exactly are the plans for the Big 12 in the long run? I just have to believe that they do. I have to believe that there is a vision in that regard. I have to believe that they have the long-term thinking. And as far as Oklahoma goes, the Big 12 is really the best thing that could happen for Oklahoma. I mean, Oklahoma's had great success here. Oklahoma recruits very well in this part of the country. Oklahoma is a athletic program that's making money. So they need the Big 12 to be successful. And I just have to believe Oklahoma does not stay in it unless it's, in their mind, a long-term option.
Well, I can certainly say that I exhaled when all this, I mean, I didn't want to see the Big 12 dismantled by any means, but, you know, football, college football, that's the cash cow. But my question to you is, James, have you had an opportunity to talk with some of the men and women's basketball coaches within the conference? I mean, were they feeling frustration during the realignment talks because everybody's focus was on college football and, hello, let's talk men and women's basketball. We just go back a week ago to the NBA draft. Let's not forget the Big 12 produced 7 players going in the first round and, what, 10 coming out of the conference overall in the draft.
Right, and that's what, and Bill Self, put yourself in his position. He's sitting there going, what the heck is going on? I've got one of the top 3 programs in the country.
Absolutely.
Everybody's acting like we're you know, second rate, or we're not good enough to beat anybody's league, or nobody wants us, or, you know, those kind of things. And I felt for him. I really felt that the basketball certainly wasn't being represented. Sherry Cole let everybody know that she didn't want to change, and she was hoping the Big 12 would remain. They've got a pretty good deal right now. They are one of the top teams in the country. The Big 12 is one of the top attendance leagues in the country, and she certainly didn't want any kind of change in the leagues. And I felt for the basketball coaches because it was almost as if nobody was considering what they were going to do.
We're getting ready to wrap up our conversation with James Hale, of course, out of Norman, Oklahoma, 1400 KREFOUESPN.com. And quickly, James, you truly are the expert, our go-to guy when you start talking about Oklahoma football recruiting. A number of key guys, key players coming out of even just the Texas area right here in Fort Worth. Talk to us about, is it Rashad Favors?
Well, Rashad Favors, really, he's tested. He came into camp and ran a 4.58 at 238 pounds. Rashad Favors is a guy that Brent Venables, the linebacking coach at OU, just really believes is going to be an outstanding player at OU. I mean, all 3 linebackers that the Sooners brought in, Lewis, Franklin, and Favors, all ran 4.6 or better. And Oklahoma's had some great linebackers, and Teddy Lehman was a 4.4 guy when he played at OU and winning the Butkus Award and everything. But this is the fastest linebacking group that Oklahoma has ever brought in. And, boy, Oklahoma's doing a great job recruiting that skyline, that Dallas skyline, that Dallas area. Joe Powell is in camp and a guy that the offensive coaches really love. He's a team leader. He's a guy that really believes he's going to be a good player. He can also play corner, but the Viking is an offensive player. And you'll see a number of players coming up from the Dallas area.
My final question for you, you've had a chance to talk to Bobby Jack Wright and Quentin Hayes out of Lancaster High School. That's not too far removed from where we're at, too.
Well, Quentin Hayes is the guy that's going to play in the secondary. He's got great speed as well. It's interesting, those guys, you know, weren't recruited by Willie Martinez, who's the new secondary coach. But they were recruited by Bobby Jack Wright, who was the secondary coach and is now the DN coach. And, boy, he didn't recruit very many bad players. So Julian Wilson, but, you know, Quentin Hayes coming out of, Quentin's a very fast, athletic player, had like 12 offers, could have gone to a number of different players. I don't know if he's going to be a corner or safety at OU. They recruited him, I think, to be a corner, at least try to be a corner. But I think he's got a great upside to him. There's no question about that.
Outstanding job today, James, and this weekend on our program. Tell us a little bit about as far as how the remainder of your summer going to play out. Are you going to get to take a vacation, a cruise, or do something kind of fun?
you know, I'm going to see the Boston Red Sox play.
Outstanding.
That's my favorite team. I'm going down. I'm actually traveling down in your neck of the woods. My nephew lives down in Austin, and he's got 2 precious little boys, and my daughter, who's just an angel, has given me my first granddaughter.
Oh.
And we're taking the granddaughter down to play with the boys, and that's going to be fun and kind of get them together. I'm going to try to find the 3 best restaurants in Austin.
James, give me a call and when you're coming down I-35. I'd love to take you to lunch, okay?
I look forward to it, E. You have a great day.
Absolutely. We're going to step aside in just a moment. Glenn Butch, Shane Halls is going to be joining us, the president and owner of Scientific Baseball. Stay close.
The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell is the biggest names in sports. Delivering the insight you won't find anywhere else. Like TCU head football coach Gary Patterson, Texas A&M great R.C. Slocum, and Big E's regular guest of ESPN Radio, better known as the Double Nickel, Jason Peter. The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Miss one episode and you miss the game.